Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
First of all, I want to credit San Jose State and Coach Brennan. His guys outplayed us. They outcoached us. And it was very, very disappointing in the effort that we got tonight. For three quarters, they were the SEC football team. They took it to us. And from the very first play, they had us on our heels. Very disappointing. Extremely disappointing. We had great fight to come back and tie the game, and then we let them go down the field and score on us. Again, we couldn't hold any momentum. But credit those guys. Everyone's going to be held accountable from me down. I'm going to hold every coach. I'm going to hold every player. Every staff member is going to be held accountable. Totally unacceptable. We're going to get back in here tomorrow. We'll figure it out. And this performance is completely unacceptable. You get what you deserve in life. We didn't deserve to win this football game. Anytime you have five turnovers and you allow a guy to throw for over 400 yards on you and go down the field on you like nothing, missed tackles, unacceptable.
Well, yeah, unacceptable. And to steal your phrase here, Jordan, I'm sick of it.
Yeah. Just to let the people know, we have not talked since the game, literally.
By design.
By design, yeah. I don't know where your head's at with anything other than I know you're upset, you're embarrassed, you're sick of it. You don't know where my head's at. So this is going to be literally the people hearing us talk like we plan on this podcast to be when we started and just let it fly. Luke, you're going to be busy after this one.
That's what I was afraid of. So obviously, I'm typically stationary. You might get sick. Because yeah. I am moving, I'm pacing way too much, but it's just, I don't know where to go. How do we approach it? Let's just talk about this game, I guess. Obviously, we lose to San Jose State, a team that had one win last year. We throw five interceptions, and we just look like we didn't watch an ounce of tape.
A team that had not scored more than 18 this year.
Right. So they came off a bye week, and they definitely looked like it. They were ready. They played juice, and...
Screw all that noise.
We did not.
I don't give a shit about a bye week.
That's no, I don't either, team. But...
Let me ask you this. The game's over. What do we do? What happens to the Arkansas Razorbacks next week? What changes? Today's Sunday. When people hear this, it'll be Monday or later. What's happening in the building right now? What needs to happen in the building right now?
I think first and foremost, it needs to be a defensive change of some sort, be it player, coaches, Chavis, whatever it may be. And then on the offensive side, if Chad Morris is really going to, top to bottom that whole deal, at this point he is coaching for his job. I don't think the Board of Trustees have any problem dropping him if this continues. If we don't pick up another win, which definitely is looking like it. I mean, I can't find a W after this one, especially if we're going to play like that.
And I want to apologize to our listeners.
Yeah.
Because
we gave you guys some false hopes.
Yeah. Well, I was watching this and I was thinking about that. Like, do we know what we're talking about? I mean, is this team really that bipolar to go from 55 points against a respectable, not a great, but a respectable Colorado State to you can't even cover your damn spread against San Jose State?
Right.
What the hell was going on with Starkle?
I don't know. Nobody knows, man. That's the thing. I think most of the fan base is shocked. I mean, an hour after this game, you have San Jose State players taking photos and video at midfield on the Razorback logo and their coaches. Like, so disgraceful.
Go do it.
Yeah.
When you come in the house, you ate the food, you can where you eat. I mean.
They earned it. So
they earned it. The way that was played, where's the pride with the Razorback? This whole Morris thing, and I'm not jumping on the fire Morris thing. Everybody needs to just stop for a second with that. But this whole pride thing, where the hell was the pride the other night?
I tell you, ESPN during that game was doing us zero favors. So they open up with the Club Dub crap, which is obviously closed for renovations. And then they also, midway through, I think the first or second quarter, they showed I stripped everybody of the Razorback and all that kind of stuff, and had the white tee out there with every on there, and every of the points was scored against us last night. So
you gave me a look with the Morris thing. You there?
Yeah, I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah.
Interesting. First of all, the defense.
No. First of all, there was zero preparation. You can't come out here and listen to the clip that I played, and then basically I'm sick and tired of that talk, and then sit there and basically not hold yourself accountable. Later on, he did say that it's on him and whatnot, but absolutely zero preparation. And like I said, if it feels like they didn't watch an ounce of tape whatsoever, or they completely overlook this team and think that we're at the level where we can just overlook somebody and not have to do anything. And there's only like two teams that can do that. One of them being Bama.
Yeah, I think I can speak for both of us when I say we didn't, with our hype and everything last week, I don't think we were insinuating overlook this team in the aspect of don't prepare for them.
Right.
It was just in my head for sure was you prepare for this team, you take care of this team, and then we can go on and move on to A&M. I agree with you 100%.
I tried to find bailouts for these guys. Like, I tried to find excuses, and injury was one of them. And
I'm about to upset you right now. That my third trip through this freaking game is happening right now as we're recording.
Really?
To see what the hell. And again, this is my third time. We didn't deserve to be out there. It's like Morris said, they were the SEC team.
Yep.
They worked us. We have all that talent on the field, and we got worked.
$1.5 million to lose.
We set a record. Schools pay people, and that happens. But this team did not need that. Not this team. And I'm going back to Starkle too. What the hell?
That was Jekyll and Hyde for sure.
Was he thinking about A&M? At least I don't accept it, but at least you could halfway say he has an excuse to be looking ahead a week. But again, shouldn't. But if you're going to give anybody a slide, it would be him. Like, okay, I get it. You're juiced up. You're ready to play your old team. Show them you're better than mine and all that. But
I think if you want to find a decent thing that came out of this game is the fact that he ripped the Justin Bieber shirt. So that's thrown in the trash, according to him on Twitter. So no more Justin Bieber. Apparently no more noise, no more distractions. And it's like, yeah, that's what made you throw into double coverage.
Can we agree that Curl is at least the one constant?
Curl and Limpert? Hey, you know I got to stay with the brand.
Yeah. I mean, I hate it for these guys. So, Scooter.
Here's the thing that I did see some kind of personnel changes and whatnot after halftime, more in regards to the defense, because it seemed like we didn't know what a slant route was, and then they just ate us up on back shoulder. Like,
slants, the crossing routes were there.
Yeah, crossing routes all day.
Not.
So,
fire Chavis, I will say that.
That's kind of the first deal, but I don't know how to go about that mid-year, and then who could step into there that's on the staff in an interim role.
Does it matter?
So yeah, exactly.
I mean, but I don't like saying fire people. I truly don't, but that's, man, I wish sometimes, like, this is what recording, this is why having a podcast sucks sometimes because of the eating crow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like, pumpernickel bread.
Hey, we weren't ever fully on the Chavis train. Like,
no, the Chavis, no, but what was about to come out of my mouth is literally opposite of what I said last week. Craddock.
Yeah, that's, I was trying to get to that point earlier, but you came in fire.
Sorry.
But, yeah, I would say if he really is going to hold everyone accountable and you need to start kind of hurting some people's feelings, I think he's kind of had that in the past with quarterback decisions and just making decisions in general. I think keeping Nick Starkel in was kind of good because it showed that he had some kind of balls. So,
yeah.
Really, just don't worry about hurting Joe's feelings. If you are the offensive mastermind that you are that we brought here, you need to start calling plays. I don't know if he is yet. I didn't hear anything about it. So, if he's not, he needs to be because right now his ass is on the line.
The cherry on top for that ass whooping yesterday would have been pulling Starkel and putting Hicks in. That would have...
How many times did they... Did he move? Because anytime they cut to him, which was three or four times, he was standing, same pose. It just looked like a file image.
Confused?
With Hicks. No, it's just the back of his head that I kept seeing.
Asking you, though, because...
We wouldn't have gotten back in that game if we...
Just, you know... God, it's so sad we even had to say that. But I'm going to throw you some love here real quick, and you are a pretty dang good football mind.
Appreciate it.
What happened Saturday? What do we need to do? What's the biggest number one change that needs to happen Saturday?
We need to do something with the DBs. I know we're depleted there. Seemed like that was a big issue, like we've already mentioned with crossing and slants. One of those deals is if you have a senior guy like Curl, who I feel like can come down, you might be able to bring a guy up a little faster than intended and let a safety take his bumps in Catalan. You might be able to move around your safeties a little easier than you can with your corners and at least have Curl be, you know, on there. It might put him on an island and expose some stuff with him, but, I mean... Not having Mo Brown, I'm a big fan of Mo Brown, and we didn't have him, and 24 just kept getting ate up. That was...
Alignments, though, were...
Bishop, yeah.
Alignments were so bad.
They haven't... Space. That doesn't seem to be adjusted in the first 3 weeks. I just don't know what's going on there.
Like, the cushion and everything that we're given, and, I mean, because crossing routes, I mean, we've talked a lot, and it was exposed again, just not as often because they didn't have to, but the middle of the field has been wide open.
Yep.
And the run game, we can't stop. So,
which is so weird with our linebackers. The talent's definitely there. Your front seven is there. So
that's what makes me think it's coaching. And like you said, we've not been on Chavis pretty much ever. He had some highlights last year here and there, and none this year, really, but if Chavis, the talent's there, it's the coaching, and that is the top-down thing. The talent is there. We're not as bad as we just showed to be on TV.
Yeah, I think
it's coaching.
You know, in retrospect, Chad Morris is relatively new to this gig in terms of head coaching. I mean, what was he, 3 years at SMU? He's five years into the gig of head coaching. And we've got really young offensive line coaches in Dustin Fry. And then we also have young guy in Step. And, I mean, I think Step is doing his job.
Yeah.
But Joe Craddock is, you know, 2 years, 3 years into play calling. And it's showing.
You can't use the it's in a different league excuse, though, because it's that was not. I mean, that was what they were used to doing at SMU against that team.
The problem is the knee-jerk side of things. Like, yes, you obviously want to heal this, but we're going to take a few more lumps this year and hopefully does the right things this offseason and can save his job.
Yeah, because I don't want him to lose his job. I mean, that thing took off. I did it. I got on Twitter last night. And that...
Oh, it was full steam ahead. I mean, you had, let me kind of go on a side deal here. Give me some time.
Yep.
You had the folks that wanted Bobby Petrino back, which really hurts me. And then another name that kept getting brought up was Mike Leach. And, you know, that was because he got brought up in the last to go around. Mm-hmm. And
Norville was brought up, I saw.
Norville, who turned us down, keep in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, we did offer him, and Memphis offered him more money. Or, but you know, more money, and he got to stay where he's been and knows what he gets.
Right.
So, Mike Leach gets brought up, and I'm like, okay, yeah, we flirted with this. He kept hearing his name during the Chad Morris search and all this kind of stuff. Well, he was playing at the same time. So I flipped over, and I was watching some Pac-12 after dark, and I watched his team give up 30-plus points in the third quarter and blow a 30-point lead against UCLA, which... Right there, on that second half of that team, on that UCL team, looked like an old Chip Kelly Oregon offense. Like, I don't know if he's done yet. I've definitely kind of counted him out, but he definitely had him working against Washington State. So yeah, definitely not on the Mike Leach. I do have some names, but I'm not jumping on that boat and whatnot. I do say I am tired of Chad Morris, but also, it's not the right thing for the university to fire him at this point, or even at the end of this year. You have to see how he responds to the adversity, and if he can adjust things. Going back to the name Mike Leach, he went 3-9 twice in his first 3 years. So the reason that Mike Leach is kind of getting things rolling is he's gotten that time at Washington State, and he's also got a really good offensive mind with the air raid. I mean, Minshew pride right now. So
I'm gonna surprise you a little bit here and kind of give a little bit of kudos to the fan base a little bit, because they, for the most part, there's never going to be an opportunity for us to say it was 100% clean. I didn't see too many ads. There was a whole lot of fire, Morris, but there wasn't a whole lot of ads. I didn't see any kids get dragged through the mud. I 100% support everybody's emotions after yesterday. And not because I'm feeling a lot of the same, but, again, because of how clean the majority of them were. And
we had a guy that said Nick Starkle should break his leg.
I said we never will be able to say 100%. But – people just have to understand, and it's tough. It's so tough. I saw a lot of people not tied to this university put out some pretty heartfelt messages to the Arkansas fan base saying, we deserve better. We're one of the most loyal fan bases out there. The baseball game was brought up. The scrimmage we went to, where almost 7,000 people showed up. And the football program, we want that to be the football program.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want the stadium to be packed on a red-white game. But people are going to have to chill. It's tough, I know, but your famous saying, who are you going to get?
Yep.
And you can't bail on this guy 2 years in. He's not even a full 2 years in. You cannot do it. It's disheartening to know you're upset, Dylan, you know, that you're over it, which I understand, but...
I guess I should say I'm over the current regime. I shouldn't say Morris, but I feel like he's too attached to these guys.
But it sounded to me on that press conference I'm going to bite my tongue.
He definitely sounded like that.
Bielema-ish.
What? Oh, boy.
The same crap, man.
Oh,
it's the same crap. Oh, coach speak. Like, yeah, he's mad. Of course he's mad. But what are you going to do?
I would have broke some shit if he brought up that whole, this locker room hurts. Because I've heard that like 8, yeah. 12, how many, 14 times now?
Yeah, it's, that's why I was, I have no, other than fire Chavis, and again, I hate saying, calling for people's heads, but dude's been done for years. Yeah. We lit him up at A&M. We did, with the Bielema offense.
He's always gave up yards. It's always been, you can rack up some yards against a Chavis defense. That's maybe not always, but in the last few years, you know, however you want to say it.
Five or six, probably, at least.
The end of his career.
Yeah.
And it's always, again, been like that. Force the takeaways and make momentum swings. I mean, A&M, it seemed like all their all their games were shootouts, even against us. Just keep in mind, some really bad teams, really bad Arkansas teams. We were 7 points away from beating them last year. I mean,
right.
That's, oh, man.
It's rough, man.
Yeah.
This is rough. It's so bad. The kids didn't give up, though. They were fighting till the end. I mean,
that is something that is happening. That is a positive there.
Something is happening there. There is a culture change there. But now it's a football problem.
Yeah. Eventually.
I think we got the gamers, but we need football coaches.
Yeah. Eventually, you're going to have some crossover, too. So, interesting side of things and the unknown, if you got rid of a coach, was how many of these gamers, these real talented guys, do we keep in a change? I don't think too many. I think we would have quite a bit jump on us. And unless you kept someone crazy in there, like I think maybe Stepp could maybe keep a lot of his wide receivers if we kept him on staff.
I think so.
I think Stepp is a guy that we need to hang on to for a while.
But the wide receivers are getting theirs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's – I don't – that's
– we're already feeling this in a recruiting side because today we were Greedy France. So. And I believe he was the first commit. And he did say that he was one of the first commits for the 2020 class. He did say that he was maybe, you know, rushed or premature on committing, but it also seemed like he didn't leave the window of coming back. But also keep that in mind, like, don't fault the guy. We always these folks that don't add him, you know, just let him do his thing and...
I think the point right now for people anyway is I'd say a majority of the fan base understands it. I bet you not too many people are mad. I mean, you probably get those, oh, you committed, you know, commitments in college mean nothing until never now.
Yeah, I was going to say the letter of intent doesn't even matter nowadays.
Yeah, but you can put a little more hold on that, and we're going to lose more. The more this happens, the more we're going to lose, and that's where that's kind of, you know, you talked about more is how he handles adversity. You're going to lose commits. You're going to have to get out there on the trail and you're going to have to sell these guys your vision. And
it's tough to do when you're 2-10.
It's tough to do. And he did it last year, though. But if we do another 2-10, I mean, well, that transfer portal might catch more headway there. I don't know. I hope not. I mean,
like, I still see the team. And I don't know how to phrase this, but I can still see the team clicking and getting a few more wins. Like, if everything's firing and we have Colorado State-esque stuff, you can still get some wins. Because, I mean, we still do play Western Kentucky. But, you know, there's always a chance that someone's going to play down. So.
There's always a chance. And I also, you saw potential with Colorado State. You kind of saw the offensive potential. We know what we're getting with the defense.
Yeah.
You saw the offensive potential with Colorado State. You saw the potential last night, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, we could move the ball.
For a quarter and a half. I mean.
We couldn't hold on to it. Starkle, I believe in the kid.
I couldn't justify a single throw. There's five interceptions, and you can play them back and back and back and back, and you can't justify a single one of them.
Something was up with him.
Yeah.
You take those five turnovers away, who knows how much different this game goes.
I was wondering if he was just way hyped to be the guy, like to finally have the reins. And
I thought he could handle that myself.
Definitely didn't seem like it.
He seemed hyped. I mean, Twitter and stuff, he was excited about it, but I thought he could handle it, and he might still can handle it. I mean, the season's not over. Let's put that out there. But that cannot happen. I mean, we're in the SEC play now, with the exception of Western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to get any easier. Auburn looked really good yesterday.
Yep.
A&M scrappy as always. LSU is terrifying.
Yep.
Bama is Bama.
Yeah, I'm officially throwing all bold predictions out the window. I never said those. Those are deleted from the record, so get to it, Luke. And just long bleeps, whatever you got to do. Those never happened. I'm sorry to everyone.
So with that being said, Dylan.
New bold prediction.
No, this is kind of knee jerk here. What's your, do we get six?
Are we still trying to bowl?
Yeah.
We double our win total? Is that it from last year?
That's fine. That's an improvement, right?
There's two more wins out there.
Kentucky and Western Kentucky?
Sure, we'll take out the Bluegrass State.
Yeah, but Missouri's offense is rolling. I mean,
it's a tough go. We are definitely in SEC play, and everyone's clicking. We ain't playing the right SEC teams. So, Tennessee.
Yeah, I was about to say, is there any way we can?
But then again, I feel like Tennessee's like, hey, at least we ain't Arkansas.
Well, they were keeping us from being the laughing stock again, and then
I hear Greg Schiano is available. You think we give him a call for that D job?
And there's the other pick that just happened in the red zone. Jesus, looked over at the wrong time.
That last one just stop it.
But I do believe in him. I do think he's the guy. I don't think anybody else needs to step in. You don't want to put it all on one guy, but Starkel hurt us really bad. Mm-hmm. And the good thing is I think that he is the kid, has the right kind of mindset that will bounce back. And what better team to do it against than his old one?
I mean, he was bouncing back during that game. Like, he played very well with four interceptions. Like, once the comeback, I mean, let's not overlook that. But San Jose State kind of led us back into that game. So they definitely could have put their foot down a little bit more, ate a little bit more clock, and called a little bit better of a game and closed it out a little easier for them. So.
I mean, they were amped. Like you said, I don't care that they were amped. An amped San Jose State shouldn't beat an amped Arkansas.
Straight.
At Arkansas.
Shouldn't outcoach at all. Like, oh. Mm-mm-mm.
So
you try and get me to say some dumb stuff, and I ain't gonna
yet. I'm really not. Because I'm probably right there with you. Again, we have not talked. This is our first communication, but there are some thoughts that went through my head, and I'm like, no, I'm not that. But
I was about to blow your phone up during the game, just like Adam from Memphis. So. But I also, it can be used against me, so.
Yeah, I would too. But also, if you would have last night, I had a couple of beers, so I might have probably even said some things even you would have been like, okay, I got
to
go.
It got there where I had to put the old do not disturb on and
yeah. Just hey, shout out to our little circle too. Everybody knew not to talk to everybody. We didn't even hear from producer Luke at all, or I didn't.
We had one little shot, and I believe it was before the game, because I mentioned the beeper shirt again. Our OU buddy wanted to tell us, or I guess
like every time he watches, we lose. Actually, now that I think about it,
he wanted to ask, "Does your quarterback really play with the beeper shirt?" And then nothing else. So,
hey, shit. I shut that down. I was like, "You don't."
So appreciate that. Well, he doesn't now anymore. So if you went out and I saw him in the crowd.
There's a lot.
If you went out and bought those shirts, so just go ahead and rip those in half, because that is dead. We are no longer. I'm not doing it.
Nope. Whoa. Yeah, I'm down there. Even I haven't done that one.
Man.
Looking at stat line has been the mistake of the day. I did not look at this until today. They worked us, man.
Every facet of the game.
Average per attempt, average per completion. I mean, we got more passing touchdowns, if that makes anybody out there listening feel any better. We probably sound like some terrible individuals. I can hear it in our voice right now how sad we are.
Yeah.
But we are a For Fans By Fans podcast, and this is hopefully something we're not going to have to deal with too much. I mean,
we have definitely leaned, myself included. There's just times when the homerism goes out the window. You can't do rainbows and unicorns and be all fluffy and it's definitely there for me. And I have at it. We have a text line. We have a call line. Exercise your demons. That is 479-308-8605. Have at it. Talk to us. How are you feeling about all this? It was a lot to take in. Where do we go from here? Are you guys off of the Chad Morris train, if there was ever one? Who are you going to get?
Off of that.
Anybody that comes at me with that, my first question is going to be, who are you going to get and how? And that whole deal. If you're the AD, if you're Juracek, because keep in mind, Juracek, this isn't really his guy.
Man, people blew him up, too. Like, mm-hmm. What are you on him for?
Yep. This is not his guy. He was not part of the hiring process of Chad Morris. That person is actually now an AD at Ohio State. Or not right. Ohio State, Ohio.
Ohio.
University. So, if you are Juracek, what are you doing? Again, tell us. Hit us up. Text, call. Leave us a message.
If I'm Juracek, I'm going to answer your question for you.
All right, cool. You have if to call I'm the number.
If I'm Juracek, I'm not doing anything. You have a conversation, of course. You get the whole football staff in your office or go to theirs, whatever, and you have a conversation. I don't think this is a scenario where you check the kids' hearts because, like we said, they're playing. They've played that to the end of every game this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is a staff deal. What are y'all doing wrong? What are you preparing? What, like, I saw Nikki was saying, like, however their preparations are going, it's not working. Scrap it. Do something else.
Well,
that's the problem.
Another person I saw bring up preparation, and he is a amazing coaching mind to me. I love his philosophy. Was into any kind of video that comes across. It's Coach Kevin Kelly with Pulaski Academy. He does a lot of live tweeting. Great follow on Twitter. And he mentioned preparation, and whatever they're doing is absolutely wrong. Something needs to change. And Coach Kelly is a guy that I hold in high standings, and he's done great things. And he's gotten some great guys to the college level.
And I'm sure you saw Morris's quote about the pregames.
Yeah.
Or heard it.
Yeah, that definitely did not do him any favors, and it rubbed me the wrong way. And the fact that you can tell at pregame that there's something there, it kind of sounded like essentially he saw that they were flat and that there wasn't a lot into
it. Well, he said that for the people that haven't, I kind of just put that on you, but for the people that haven't heard it, said he was concerned in pregame warm-up, we were too loose, too giddy, we're not good enough to come out with that logo and expect to win.
So that makes me seem that I read through that, and it sounds like he thought his guys were sleepwalking through stuff. And that's on you. That's a coaching deal.
It's a preparation deal. I mean, if you – that's one thing – a lot of people will listen to us hate Nick Saban, but that is one thing that you have to give that guy credit for. They prepare for the Citadel the same way they prepare for LSU, Georgia, Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why their games, 95% of the time, they handle business, especially against – I mean, they have –
When's the last time they lost to somebody that was unranked?
The last one I can think of is Monroe, and we talked about that a few episodes ago. Like that Louisiana Monroe, I think.
It's probably close to 80 straight games. I'm not even being sarcastic there. It's probably in that ballpark because they don't let up. Like, they have some...
Their bad games are they only won by a few touchdowns right. against those types of teams.
And we can be there.
We
can eventually be there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What I meant by that is the University of Arkansas is capable of having that kind of program.
Yeah, I really hate the argument of being like the smallest school and all that kind of garbage. Like that, the talent can be here. You can definitely be on the outskirts of it. People have proven that were lesser coaches. So I don't know.
There's your brand. Just happened.
Yeah.
We're now only down 14 points.
Stop it, man.
So bad.
I'm self-imposed. I did not watch it. I watched it. I did not re-watch it. There's not much I can take apart. I mean, I don't need to chart that garbage. So it's not worth my extra time. I don't think folks want to hear me break down that much that trash. So
No, I think we've been on the same page here as far as it was coaching. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've things that got exposed or things that we've already talked about, pursuit and all that, angles and all that good stuff, the cushion off the secondary, wide open middle of the field. It was a coaching thing. We were never, from like he said in that clip, from the get-go, they came out to play and we didn't. And there is no video for that. I mean, it's right there. I hope that they pulled I hope they're still in there. I hope they got in there at 6 this morning. They're still in there. Yep. I hope they're watching this frame by frame.
So now it's all about moving on. That's basically what we can do. Have that whole mentality of on to the next one, on to A&M. A&M opens up as a 21.5-point favorite. Sounds about right.
Good thing we're not taking the picks today.
Yeah, good thing we aren't, because it'll probably open up. I can definitely see it opening up at like a 24. It opened up closing at 21.5, but near kickoff, it'll probably close at about a 24. If, you know, might sneak up 28. Who knows? That's what we deserve after the showing. But I'm still going to say they cover.
You're still going to say that?
Yeah. If it's a four touchdown.
Yeah.
Against them. Yeah.
What'd you say? It was 21 point right now?
21.5. But that's more on what I think of Jimbo than I do our current team. So.
Yeah. I know we're not taking it right now, but I would, we have to play them next week. Like, we have to play them close.
Yeah.
You don't have this happen and come out and get spanked again, right?
Right. What do you want to see? What do you want to see in this week? Like, we can talk about what we would do if we're AD and all that good stuff, but what do you want to see? Like, there has to be change. So, what can you do now, and what do you want to see?
Come Saturday, like, just by the time it hits the field. Because
there's going to be a press conference on Monday, and we got till Thursday, you know?
There has to be a coach shakeup. It doesn't have to be a firing. It can be a demotion. It can be get Chavis's ass back in the press box. It can be Craddock getting on the field and step up in there, you know, seeing the field better. I'm strictly staff right now. Come Saturday, I want to see – defensive improvement. I don't care if it is just as simple as only allowing 250 yards passing and 100 yards rushing, just some kind of defensive improvement. And I want to see Starkel get his head right. Whatever happened last night needs to be, he doesn't need to remember San Jose State as of right now.
Right.
But
he needs to go talk to Connor Nolan, guys that know how to have short-term memory, because as a pitcher, I feel like that's a trait that you have to have. Right. And he probably has that. I'm just kind of being facetious a little bit, because that's how I handle stuff.
But no, that happens with athletes. So athletes reach out to other athletes. If it's not Nolan, just let it be somebody. Like, hey, what did I do wrong?
Heck, at this point, you might want to call up the Allen brothers. You know, they know how to handle a rowdy crowd.
Especially B.A.
You know, B.A., I mean, I think, just so underappreciated by the fan base. I mean, we have our own deal, and you know what I feel of Brandon Allen. Yeah. There's been some talk in our circle of like what makes a Hall of Famer in the NFL and stuff of that nature. Can you tell the story of the NFL without them? Then that probably means they're not a Hall of Famer. But the same can go, are they an Arkansas legend? Can you tell the story of Arkansas football without Brandon Allen? Absolutely not.
You can't.
That puts him in a legend in my book. So,
yeah,
but side note, sorry.
No, that's good. I mean, that I think that's actually a really good point you brought up. I mean, dude's truck got burnt down. The fans just destroyed him, and he kept coming back. He never came back from a week-to-week basis. He never regressed. Might not have been a major progress, but he never regressed.
Right.
Kept plugging away. By the time it was a senior year, we knew what we had. And we trusted it. And so I mentioned the coaching staff stuff. I mean, would you be okay with a mid-season, early season firing of a coordinator? Like, is that too much? Is that too knee-jerk?
The closest thing to it would be John Chavis.
That you would be okay with?
To a firing. The problem is I look at the staff and don't know. Because you can't go and get an interim. You have to pick an interim off of that staff. Chad right. Morris isn't known for defensive prowess, so you have to use somebody, Scott, on the defensive line, maybe, but you can also see where the defensive line is, and probably, you know, you kind of go with, if you have a group that is performing well, and they have an individual coach, you might want to talk to that individual to take over the whole defense if possible. And, I mean, the only reason I say Scott is I believe he has pro background, so he might be able to roll into a bigger scheme easier than some other guys.
And the reason I say fire is because you're not going to demote John Chavis.
No. Nope.
You're just not. He's not going to accept it. I mean, Morris is the head coach, and he needs to be – oh, boy, wait for this one. Last chance you, Jason Brown.
Oh, man.
He liked making people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You need to make somebody uncomfortable in there.
Yeah.
Just don't act that, like a
– That's what I was – that's kind of what I was touching on earlier. I felt like he was – he tries too much to try to be buddy-buddy with some folks and doesn't want to hurt too many people's feelings. Nick Saban don't give a crap. I hate that we keep going to that, but that's the standard.
That's the standard, and that's exactly what it is.
I feel like even Dabo, when he has to do some uncomfortable things, he does. He's still a personable guy, and Chad Morris can still be there, but ultimately this is a business. Bottom line matters. Wins matter. If that's what you got to do, it might be that he doesn't know what the answer is. And if that is...
I don't accept that.
Yeah, if that is the deal, then all right. Well, here's $12 million. We're sorry. Have a nice day.
Right.
Because that's what his table's at. He opened that at $14 million buyout last year, and it's down to 12 if we did it right now, if you were wondering.
We don't need to do it. We don't need to do it. But it is a problem, and we're not saying it is, but it is a problem if he doesn't know what the problem is.
Yeah.
That is your team. If
he's going to get us to where we want to be and where a lot of folks think we deserve to be, then he has to make the appropriate adjustments and be able to see that. Look, you know, he's used it himself. We got to look in the mirror and that whole deal. And
right.
You know, are you actually doing that? Because at this point, through camp, you've had doubt with the quarterback stuff. And you've gotten proven wrong on that, so there's a strike one. Strike two is that the preparation hasn't changed. Your line is still awful on both sides of the deal. You have a former five-star guy that can eat away and take double teams, and we still can't get pressure against San Jose State. Like, it wasn't that...
And they had no problem getting pressure on us.
Yeah. Keep in mind, what was it, fourth quarter we got our first sack? And it was a big one, but still... You have a guy that constantly eats up double teams. He constantly is getting double team in Sosa, and we still can't get there. I mean, that makes your scheming a whole heck of a lot easier, and we still aren't getting there against San Jose State. You know, any decent quarterback that has stayed in the same system, even San Jose State, he's a fifth-year senior. I'm not bailing anything out, but... He's smart. He's been around the game of football long enough, so we play anybody that has any kind of experience, he ain't scared. Right now, absolutely not scared whatsoever because he's prepared 5 years through this. Like, he might not be in the same offensive system. They brought that up, but he knows football. He's been around football long enough that
preparation matters, X's and O's matter, but your football what am I thinking? It's just your football IQ, your football experience all comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brett Favre was the king of that. When shit hit the fan, he just went with the roots.
Yeah.
And we don't have anything like that right now, man. We don't have anything like that anywhere. Scooter is one man on the defense.
Yeah.
Cam's one man on the defense. Raheem,
he can only
man, that
so
dude
much.
Plays hard. Yeah. He plays real hard, but.
What was it, game one? I said we don't deserve him.
Yeah, yeah. Little bit of takeaway in the positive manner, again, is the receivers. They're consistent. At least we got consistent hands out there finally.
Burks was a big miss there. Just being
didn't
able
affect
to stretch
the outcome
it
of the game,
bit.
But
yeah. What?
Yeah. Didn't affect the outcome of the game, but it was a big miss out there.
I think it would have opened up some more stuff. So One thing that I've noticed with Starkel is sometimes when he is making some of these throws, it almost seems like he's throwing for pass interference, and he's not throwing to give the receiver a chance. So, he definitely saw a lot of that with Knox, because Knox is getting mugged.
All the time.
All the time.
He warrants it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we can't complain. We got somebody that's physical out there, right?
We have to do what's best to keep the current talent on in the university. So,
and I think they will. I really do. These kids committed to Morris, and I think we will. I really do. I don't see too much of a transfer. I kind of mentioned it earlier, but the ones that will be guys that probably weren't getting enough time in their mind, or maybe a little bit on the bubble as it was, but I don't think we're going to lose Knox or Woods or Burks, or Starkle's not going anywhere, obviously. Boyd might leave to just go to the NFL because he's tired of getting beat up, but I don't think we're going to lose the nucleus of this 2019 class, but
we'll lose some commitments from the 2020 class that we already have.
Yeah, we will. But Morris has proven to be a recruiter, so we won't worry about that. We'll once the season's over and we're all mad and all that, we'll talk about that more then. But
yeah, we always dive into a little bit of recruiting, definitely heavier after the season is, and we're probably gonna be really ready for it with how this is going. So stick around. There's
recruiting's gonna be hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
Once the off season hits. We done with that?
We are done.
San Jose, we're done.
On to the next one.
Give a little shout out to the Omaha faithful.
Absolutely. We did attend the scrimmage. JRD crew was in full force there. Amazing to see. It's awesome. I just kept looking at the crowd, and I'm like, this is a Friday night. They have high school football going on. You have so many things else that you could be. A scrimmage, a 14-inning scrimmage.
On a Friday night.
On a Friday night. Awesome.
We rolled up a little late.
That tells you what that tells you what winning does.
Exactly. We rolled up a little late. We're like, holy crap. Parking? Question mark?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, almost 7,000. What was it? 6,000. Was it 500 something?
6,300 and 300. Some change on top of that.
But yeah, we rounded up.
I rounded up. Yeah. You know, 10,000 people were there.
But the greatest thing, or not, depending on how you look at it, is people thought that was a season conference game the way they were hollering at those referees or the umpires. But the reason we sort of wanted to bring that up anyway today, but it's like you just said, that is what winning does. Mm-hmm. And I still think that the Razorback as a whole faithful are loyal people, and they talk all the crap they want. Never going to another game, never watch another game. Well, yeah, you are. No matter what, we've all been through this crap together. We're all in this together. It sucks. It's painful. You want to look forward to Saturdays, and you still look forward to Saturdays. It just sucks.
Yep.
But we can do this, but we need to keep the fan base together.
We saw it plenty of times leading into this season, and it's kind of just absolutely how I'm feeling, especially week to week. Michael Scott gift from the office. Make no mistake about it, I'm ready to get hurt again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that will do it for us.
Put it hurt the San Jose State game.
Yeah, exactly. We ain't got segments. We ain't got all that noise. For the JRD Hogcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
Jordan Russell.
Shout out to our producer, Lou Griggs. I think we did all right this go around. I don't know. I mean, I almost did some bad things. And as always, woo pig suey.
Hey, I may talk a little smack when I'm bragging about my team. I got the jersey and the hat. Sometimes I take it to extreme. A little pride on my face, 'cause I got season tickets.
slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl. Won't be hard.